advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Now I have a dream.
What's your dream?
I don't know.
Brad doesn't have a dream. He doesn't dream.
I don't dream. Actually, I did dream.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I bought a house, and then I dreamed fucking we went into escrow, and then I got laid off in my dream. And I was stressing when I woke up in the morning. I was like, son of a bitch. I was like, my fucking body is retarded.
I would just dream about like work. Wake up, and I'm like, fuck, I'm at work. And I just worked all night. Damn it.
Yeah.
That's my recurring one.
I think I told you I was stuffing vending. I was filling vending machines because they used to have a vending machine route.
I remember that.
I was like shoving my arms under my wife at the time, like, and you know, like filling the vending machine.
Did
like,
you really tell that? You never told
us. Well, I told you guys.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Maybe you had a dream.
I don't dream a whole lot.
Maybe you just dream that you don't dream.
I dream when I'm stressed and stuff. I'll dream because I did. I dreamt like we went into escrow on a house. And then I literally like dreamt that I was getting laid off
at
work
and
I was just stressed like the whole night, like sleeping. I was asleep and I was stressed out and I woke up just fucking stressed out. Like it's just the stress just didn't go away. You know,
I dream a lot. I'll have a dream every night that I'll kind of remember. Mm-hmm. And 95% of the time it's just complete horse shit. It's me. Like you said, it's me showing up at work. It's me fucking vacuuming.
Going
the
to
house.
The grocery store.
It's just complete random bullshit. But now that I get like 2 hours of sleep at a time max because of Vaughn, like I dream in every single 2 hour chunk.
So they're all different.
And they're pretty fucking wild dreams.
Usually you don't start dreaming until you've been asleep for 2 hours.
No, I fucking do. I dream immediate. Like almost every time I fall. I'm usually interrupted. I'm probably just having a dream every time he wakes up and that wakes me up.
Right.
So I always like the baby noises always snap me out of the whatever dream I'm having, but I have them all fucking night long. I haven't done it in a while. I'll go years without this happening, but then like I'll have recurring dreams. I'll have continuous dreams where I'll dream a setting and a world, and it's always fucking bizarre. It's always like a sci-fi movie. I'll have it like on Monday night, I'll have that dream. And then on Wednesday night, I'll have another dream. And it's like live time, as if that much time has passed back in the dream. And I'll do it sometimes for weeks at a time.
God.
And like, they're unbelievable. Like I write them all down. Like one of the books I'm working on right now, I completely dreamed the backstory of consistently.
That's kind of a trip. A lot of writers say crazy. That they don't even want to take credit for their writings.
No, it's a trip.
Well, it's still your mind.
Yeah.
But they say basically
they attribute it to like they're tapping into something else.
Right. Right.
You know, even Tesla said that kind of stuff.
It's your mind.
Know, I'm a faucet to the universe sometimes, man. I don't know what's coming out of my mouth until it happens. Yeah.
It's bizarre.
The only recurring dream I have is the one where I'm at school and I can't find my fucking classes. I'm entirely unprepared. That one happens a lot. And then I do have this thing that happens where I have an extreme sense, which obviously happens in life, of familiarity, where I think like it's like deja vu in a dream where I'm like, fuck, I always have this dream. And then I wake up, I'm like, I've never had that dream.
Right.
It's just the sense of association and familiarity that makes me think I had that dream before, but never had it.
I always have the dream that I'm like late to a final exam, or I have a final exam for a class that I've never attended once.
Yeah.
or like anxiety. I'm getting like, I realize it's the first day of school and I completely forgot about a class I'm supposed to teach.
I never
like, oh fuck, I was supposed to be in class like 20 minutes ago.
No.
Well, most of it, like they're either college or they're like my current job.
Right.
Like I have dreams that I needed to start a brand new class a half hour ago and I missed it. But then the thing is, like, I don't know why my brain sets these scenarios up, because every single time I go, oh fuck, like I needed to take that final, or oh shit, I needed to start class 30 minutes ago. And then I inevitably go, oh well, fuck it. Like, so my brain sets up this like, you're gonna be fucked up, and then I'm like, eh, that's cool, fuck it, whatever. Yeah. I'll do something else.
I do have dreams that I start dreaming and then I'll do the fall. You know, where you fall and I'll wake up. So like, but I don't remember what the dream was. So I know I kind of start dreaming, but then I'll fall.
I had a dream like a couple nights ago that I was like at a hotel and I answered the hotel phone trying to be a funny guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, corporate accounts payable, Mina speaking, just a moment, and did the little thing. And I was like, ha ha ha. Like
the little thing.
You know, the little thing. Everyone knows that. Corporate accounts payable. Nina speaking, just a moment.
Oh, the little thing.
And the person on their line was like, some urgent shit went down. And I was like, oh, fuck, joke's on me. Like, I shouldn't answer this fucking phone. And shit got real. And then I felt like obligated to take care of the situation. Had to do with someone losing money. And they're like, why'd you answer the phone? I was like, I was just kidding. And then then I had to find the missing money. Yeah.
I like that you didn't just hang up.
No. I'm glad I don't dream, because these are stressful. Like, these are stressful dreams.
I do have stressful dreams. Stressful.
Yeah, that's horrible. I'm stressed out in life.
Yeah.
You know what else is stressful? Coming up with the Yucateco story. Yeah. I don't know what to say right now, but Yucateco. I have thought about, it might be kind of cool to have, when you post the picture, that we vote on the Yucateco picture for the next week. So like maybe the person that gets the most likes from their fellow listeners, maybe that gets like voted to the next, but I'm really scared you guys would just have like Teco Dick Bottle would get voted forward.
No, it might very well happen.
Yeah. But I was thinking, if you took like a good Teco photo, that will be the one we would use on the next one and perpetually continue to do that. Yeah. But then Tyler Mott comes in and you just have to disqualify the guy and make him not want to participate, because he's pretty much a professional photographer. Mm-hmm. That shit is like Time Magazine status for a hot sauce. Mm-hmm. His pictures are pretty crazy.
Let him rock it,
I guess. Yeah. Techo,
everybody else needs
guy
to fucking rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's impressive. That's all I'm getting at.
I'm just sad that the microphones weren't live when we took a break between episodes.
What was said? I don't recall.
Well, you were already upstairs. You went sprinting out of here with your banana penis, because you had to
pee. Your banana penis. Oh.
Yeah.
But, oh, man.
It was rigid. It was flaccid when I was done, but it was less impressive.
I'm just sad that I was the only one alive, except for the wombat and the pigeon, who got to hear Brad's Reese's peanut butter egg Easter song.
Oh, fuck.
What happened?
He sang a peanut butter egg Easter song.
Do you remember?
Because
this?
He was so happy about the peanut butter Easter egg.
It was it was Three's Company tune.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Come and eat my Reese's. How'd it go?
No. But I don't even remember what it was.
I don't
even
remember either. I just, like, I was walking away. Like,
I
he was.
This is my favorite holiday.
He wasn't, like, he was really just doing it for himself. Yeah. That was the pure joy of it. He was so enraptured
was
with the joy.
That was
of
a
Reese's
fat kid
peanut
coming
butter
out in
there. It was fantastic.
We've been waiting for you.
Yeah, Reese's peanut butter. Yeah, that's what it was.
It was good.
Butter.
It was legit.
Yeah, Dave started laughing and walking off. Yeah.
So I have a winner from Twitter, actually. So as I said earlier on the episode, earlier in the week, we're giving away social media prizes. So this one is a prize from Printer Cheap, and it's to Catfish Sass on Twitter. She commonly shares our Twitter posts, and so we're giving her a sticker pack. So one of every sticker that we have to Catfish Sass. So if you hear this, hit me up. If not, I will be contacting you to get a mailing address. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, if you see our social media stuff, just interact, comment, share it, and you might get some free shit. You might not.
You might.
But you might.
And you can send us questions like Jen, man, that's the last name. Abachon?
You picked
the Jen
question.
Abachon. I don't pick them. They send them.
I know, but you had to choose the question.
Well, there's the question when there's only one.
Him.
When there's only one. Yeah, the question chooses me.
Abacon. It's a fitness expo. Every year, it's the six-pack abs convention. Jen, everyone there is ripped.
A bunch of shake
it might
weights.
Be Abacon.
Yeah, Abacon, it's, 2018.
Jen Abacon. She's married to the game.
She started Abacombie and Fitch and didn't make it.
Yeah. Says, have you done anything lately worth remembering? I thought that was an interesting question because Brent remembers nothing.
Honestly, I fell into a cyclical inception of like, what? Like,
what? Done anything lately worth remembering?
That's the sticky part. Worth remembering to whom?
Yeah. Well, to you. I mean, is it worth remembering? Are you gonna remember it? Do you want to remember it lately? So it could be within a week or two, I guess. Is that lately?
I did today, actually.
Let's hear it because I got nothing.
It's like it's a very genuine, like on the edge of sappy answer, but I'm gonna roll with it because I did like today. I've been so stressed. I've been so far behind at work. I've just worked fucking 24 hours, and if I'm not working, I'm taking care of Vaughn. And today I was like, I'm not doing shit. I'm just going to relax. I'm going to drink coffee. I'm going to hang out with the baby, et cetera. And he was throwing a fit and I sat down in bed with him on top of me and he fell asleep and I fell asleep and it was freezing cold out and rainy and it was warm with a blanket with a baby sleeping on top of me. And I woke up from the nap and I was like, that was just about one of the best naps I've ever had in my life because Vaughn was asleep on top of me. And I thought, I will remember this moment.
Yeah, you will.
My dog has taken a turn to like, she's usually not going to lay on the couch with you. I don't know what the fuck has changed. In the last like week, all of a sudden, she'll get up on the couch fucking next to you. Normally, if she's on the complete opposite side of the couch, if you just think about sitting on the other side of the couch, she anticipates that you're going to sit down,
and goes
4 feet away, gets up and goes and gets in her bed. Yeah. And you're like, what the fuck, man? Just snuggle, dog. Like, lay by my fucking feet. Get on my lap. I don't care. Lay on top of me. That would be awesome.
Nope,
she won't do it. All of a sudden, she started doing this fucking weird ass thing in the chair. So we have like a recliner in the corner. She gets up in the recliner and then like arches her back and starts doing circles, kind of like hitting the chair with her foot. Like she's trying to like nest, like she's trying to get comfortable.
Yeah, they circle the
but
bed.
But she does it. She's never done this shit.
Yeah.
She starts almost like digging in the chair, lays down and like moves around like, nah, that's not it. Gets back up, moves around again, moves around again, sticks her nose down, does all this shit and then finally fucking lays down. So that has now been preceded by I'll lay with you. And it's fucking weird. It's tripping me out. Now she'll fucking
That's because I hid something in your chair. You'll find it later.
If it's a can of tuna, I'm going to be upset.
It is not a tuna.
It's not a tuna.
Not a tuna. Yeah.
So that's my answer.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything cool that I remember anyway. Yeah, I might have done great things. Great things. Well,
I got married, so I should probably remember that.
Yeah. You haven't officially announced that, actually. Yeah, that's the first time.
That is the first time you've announced.
Who married you?
A person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to say that, huh?
What?
Who married you?
I have a private life, sir.
Oh, wow. That's where you draw the line.
Oh, that is
where I didn't realize.
I've said her name before.
Oh.
No, I think he.
Yeah, I know. I see what he's going with. I was going with a different approach. Yeah.
He meant who
was the master of your ceremony.
Oh, Dave.
I did.
Of course, Dave. Yeah. The only ordained minister that's not really a minister that I know.
That's true.
It's because he's the captain of a ship.
I am indeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm a minister.
So. The name of your boat's Pimp Jabber.
Well, you know what's fucked up? After Pimp Jabber, that dude, can we get a fucking boat? Can we get a boat?
That says Pimp Jabber. This is the Coast Guard.
Pimp Jabber.
You get a boat, your name is Pimp Jabber.
You have to. We're getting a boat now. Definitely. You just sealed the deal. I was talking about getting a boat. Now you just fucking sealed the deal.
Now it's
got to
happen.
Now I'm going to name my trailer Pimp Jabber. This shit's getting a fucking PMPJBR on the license plate. Actually, I could do PIMPJBR.
Oh, yeah.
Jabber, yeah on the license plate. Yeah.
On your boat? Can I still get that?
No, not on the boat, on my trailer.
If you get that on your trailer, I can't get it on my bus,
yeah,
right? Is that a recreational vehicle? No, license plate.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you can't.
Race to the DMV, sir.
Yeah.
No, I don't want that. I thought about putting something on there because it's 7, right?
You could do Hippie Jabber on yours. You
can do SK Ultra. Yeah. Yeah,
old better hurry. Yeah, and just put that into the universe. Somebody's going to get it.
Yeah, I'm not going to pull it off. Let's be electricians about this.
He just forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What we're going to do? The DM what? Yeah, I'm not going. I'm not going to do that. Plus, it's $40 a year.
Well, Dave fucking hit me. Dave crested me with a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
That's why nobody gets married from
it. It was on a rope, too. Yeah. You didn't even see it.
Yeah.
Whack.
I wanted to maximize.
Didn't even break.
He pulled a rope like this, and you were looking in his hand from the side. Yeah. Another rope swung in.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Was like a jungle
up.
Trap.
Yeah. Fucked up.
You're married. I just slapped the fuck out of people. Right after I married him, I'd slap the fuck out of him.
That'd be funny.
That's how I'm doing.
Yeah. Like a new tattoo.
I now pronounce you man and wife. What? Slap the shit out of them. Because what are they going to do?
That's you hit the girl first, and then as soon as like you get the look from the guy, you just backhand him.
He's
like, what do you?
See, I would do a different tactic. I would turn.
I have to get ordained.
I would pimp push the guy down by the face first because no one's expecting it.
Yeah.
And then smack the bride.
Yeah, that'd work too.
Because she'll be so surprised because she'll be sitting there thinking, holy shit, did you just pimp push my man down by the face?
Pimp jabber and walk away.
Well, see, no, then you say, you may now kiss the bride.
Maybe you should.
Because that wins. That moment wins.
They have to kiss.
Like now you have to kiss the bride. You can resolve this after the kiss.
Maybe
if you
get them both with the left jab.
Yeah.
And that's the pimp jabber. You're like, pop, pop.
Maybe.
Two quick jabs.
Pimp jabber.
Pimp jabber.
It's like a Mike Tyson's Punch Out character. Level 3. Pimp jabber.
Just
pimp jabber.
Walk away with your hands in the air. Back in, no charge. Receipts in the mail, bitches. Pimp jabber.
Money back.
I can sign the paperwork or not. Pretty much. I'm not signing.
Yeah, I still got you gotta be nice for 10 more days, bitches. Because I still got it.
What's involved in getting ordained? Is that a big deal?
It's a big deal.
Yeah? Yeah. Why no? Yeah,
you go online, pay $10.
And... no, like there's a process though, right? Like I mean, obviously there's a process, but like, is it difficult? Honestly,
it doesn't cost $10.
How much does it cost?
It's free.
Oh, how long does it last before you have to do it again?
For life.
Really?
Yep.
How are we not?
It depends on the state. It depends on the state. In California, you're ordained by an official religious group. You are covered for life, and the state of California cannot ask. It's weird. You have to have proof that you are ordained, but they can't ask for proof that you are ordained.
You know what we need to
do? I think it can only come out in court later if someone wanted to prove that you were married. You had to be able to prove that.
I say that we all get ordained. You're already done, obviously. And then we have podcast weddings. We offer it. And then people come and we marry them together on the podcast. That'd and they funny. Get married. Yeah.
Let's do it.
That'd be cool.
But we time it so that we read the words in unison, just in a row. It's just cyclical.
That'd be creepy.
Yeah.
It's very stressful.
Is it?
Fuck yeah.
That's a lot of pressure.
It's very, like, I like get up and talk to people for a living and I don't get fucking stressed out about it.
That's a big
but
moment.
But it's like the.
It's a big ask.
And it's,
Good job, Brad.
I don't get stressed out until right before, like, oh fuck, like there's a 100 people here and there's a fucking band playing and like this woman is about to walk down this aisle and it's like her fucking moment that she's been dreaming of.
You say
it's
her
like,
last name wrong.
Exactly. It's like I cannot fuck this up.
Linda Uzi Watson.
Yeah. Yeah. But they've gone from like super
not gonna work here anymore.
Yeah. The first one I did was like super like orchestrated and planned and so forth. And the second one was much more laid back on the beach, and then Brad's was even more laid back. So they're getting more casual, but the really formal ones are really fucking stressful.
Do you still wear your Incredible Hulk shirt when you go? Or you wear like a tuxedo t-shirt?
I wear Incredible Hulk on
tuxedo t-shirt. Yeah.
You have I think you have the cartoon one that like when you get upset or mad, it rolls up and hits you in the face. Pop, 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 pop. Roll it back down.
Yep.
All right, that's enough pimp jabber. We need to get talking about this.
Sculpt, hold on, I got a Sculpt member of the month.
Oh, yes.
It's March's Sculpt member of the month is Drill. The madman from Manhattan, Jones. That's what they call him.
Yep.
I don't know. He's from Queens or something, though. Wherever black people stay, not in
old
Manhattan.
Banana nuts.
Old banana fingers.
Yep.
His bread's amazing.
His bread.
I would eat his loaf.
Jarrell Jones is a professional banana nut bread maker.
He is. Yeah. Yep. Nuts, no nuts, you name it.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. He can dip the nuts.
I like it with nuts.
Yeah. He can teabag teabag the banana bread sandwich, but there's no nuts.
Literally, though, he posted the first picture of his baby, tagged two other people. I don't know who they are, and us.
Oh, that's
cool. Pretty cool.
It was pretty dumb.
I missed it. I didn't see it.
Yeah,
it
he tagged dumb. Like such and such, such, and Sofa King Podcast. Yeah. I was like, that's an honor.
Was his, he had a black baby. Was it on a black background? Because I couldn't see it.
No, it had blonde hair. I didn't want to say shit, but
it was white. It was just white and blue. Had blue eyes and blonde hair.
I tore up my boarding pass and I didn't say shit.
Yeah. Good call.
Man, had a beard. Had a blonde beard that was patchy.
That's just because he's young. It'll fill in one day. So my parents.
When he's 45?
I chopped a ton off mine. I finally noticed it literally like tubular pubes and I fucking cut them off. I noticed when I can't wear a shirt with a logo because you can still see the logo. I was like, I'm cutting it above the logo now. Plus it was in front of my fucking seat belt. It was getting in the way.
Getting in the way.
I was literally doing notes for the show and I was like, this motherfucker, like wizard beard, was swiping this shit to the side off of the fucking counter because it was on the counter when I was trying to write notes.
Wasn't that long.
I swear to fucking God it was. I cut this much off. It was right here.
Wow.
It was right there.
We couldn't see it.
It's because only five hairs made it that far and it was slightly visible.
They're just polar bear hairs. Just clear.
I wish it could be Halloween all year so I could put that black stuff in my beard.
So thank you, Drill Jones, Sculpt Member of the Month for March.
So our topic for today is a strange one. A person and an experiment that I had never really heard of before, with connections to the Unabomber that I hadn't heard of before.
Yeah, we didn't mention
Steve Foster recommended this one. Yeah.
So it's either, I don't know what you want to call it. The episode is either Henry Murray or the Harvard experiments. I don't know. Which
depends on how much you have on the Harvard experiments, because I had a tough fucking time.
And or how much you have on Henry Murray.
Or the Unabomber, you know, it was every time we try to find anything, it was just kind of mixed in with everything. So it was difficult to find just him.
So, I mean, it's worthy of so Henry Murray, I think we should start with him because he's the brainchild of the experiment. He's the one who came up with all this stuff. So Henry Murray was based on everything I read about him, I'm surprised his name isn't bigger.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he studied with Carl Jung. Like, he was like one of the main like forces of psychology at the turn of the century during World War II. Like, he was fucking massive, like in charge of all of psychology at Harvard. Like, came, I mean, once I started reading
about the hierarchy
about,
of needs, like major psychological once you start reading, based off of his
you
work.
Start reading about his work and it's like, oh, I've seen that. Oh, I've done that. Like, but he's it's like his name isn't associated with it. But he was, in charge of the Harvard psychology clinic. And
dude, this is cool. Born in the 1800s still.
Yeah.
It's cool when you have someone that's like born 1893, but died 1988. That motherfucker was born in the 1800s and saw Back to the Future.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, damn. Yeah.
That is true.
He saw flying cars.
He probably looked not like, for real. He probably looked Doc. Like fucking Doc. Like at that point, just fucking long gray hair.
I don't know the math. He lived to be like fucking 95 or something. I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's just math. I can't do it on the spot. So no, 95. I won't.
Yeah. So 93 to 88. Yeah.
He was born wealthy. He was born to a wealthy New York family.
They liked banana nut bread.
They did like banana nut bread.
They hated black people though.
They fucking hated him.
He had a very bad relationship with his mother, which immediately pushes toward like all the geniuses, cult leaders, and you know,
serial killers.
But it made him self-reflect and think about like needs and personal needs,
which is why he didn't become a serial killer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was, I mean, he was just, I mean, the guy was off the fucking chain smart. When I started looking into his background, it was pretty fucking mind-blowing. Until he came up with
the name for personology.
Yeah, personology was a bit weak.
And let's call it personology. Like, what the fuck? You can come up with something better than that?
Had to be the 60s.
Yeah.
Fucking
symbology. Symbolism. Symbology. Personology.
But yeah, so he went to Harvard, like, right away. Then he went to Columbia.
I'm going to go to Harvard and visit just to say that I went to Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
You can just say that in a sentence.
Oh, there you go. That's true.
Yeah, step away.
I went to Yale.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
I went to USC.
Yeah. I went to Berkeley.
And then I left with a sack lunch on a bus in seventh grade.
Yeah. I had really good coffee. Yeah.
I had no reason to ever step foot on a college campus. So it's not going to fucking happen.
There's a good chance that you might have gone to USC, though.
No.
You might just have not known it because USC is kind of spread out and weird. You might have just been in LA. Like,
whoops, I've driven by it.
Like, you might have like got out and grabbed a burger and actually been at USC.
I've driven by the entrance of UFC.
UFC.
Just walking down the street, trip on a crack. Yeah. Whoops, USC. It happens.
Yeah.
Fall into it.
So he went to Columbia
I fell
University.
Right on USC's dick.
It's like, it's easy to fall into like Brad's mom's crotch. You just fall right in there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Head first.
Yep.
It's like hell.
No obstruction. It just goes right in.
It's like hell.
Is it?
How so?
Yeah.
That doesn't come till later. The heat, that was a day after. Does it itch in hell? Because I was itching really bad.
Lasts for life, too.
Is there a cream for hell?
Those those weren't demons. Yeah. They were crabs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. Anyway.
I had to use Aranthrol for a week. How was it? Aranthrol? Aranthrol for a week, yeah. Fucked up my joke. God damn it.
Fucked up your own joke.
I'm just glad Aranthrol is still going strong.
It is. I've said it a few times at work.
Yeah, did Tyler Mott not make a package that looks like Neosporin that says Aranthrol?
I don't know. I don't think he made one. Last episodes. He's fucking slacking. I'll check right now.
Beautiful pictures, but slacking on
my wombat foot is in the way of the tab here, but I'll find it.
So Henry Murray, the mad scientist, and he does become a fucking mad scientist in pretty short order. He studies history at Harvard. He goes to graduate school and he's a fuck off basically at Harvard. He doesn't do very well. He's into sports. He's like football, boxing, et cetera, but he's not a huge student because he's just kind of, you know, blowing off steam.
And rowing. Is that like popular amongst all colleges? That's the only time you ever see that. Is those row teams. Yeah,
tier one colleges.
Fancy ass colleges. But then he goes to Columbia and gets an MD and he gets an MA in biology. And he becomes an instructor of physiology at Harvard. And then he goes on, because that wasn't enough, and he gets a fucking doctorate in biochem from Cambridge. Like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, are you kidding me right now?
By age 35, so that's like fucking don't skip a beat, right?
Yeah, no, he's just like, and he's teaching and doing, so he's just got multiple, you know, from like the best schools ever, multiple badass degrees. And when he's still fairly young, actually, when he was 23, he married. And the sad thing is, I couldn't even find any mention of his wife's name. There's only mention of his mistress's name.
No, he falls in love with another woman. And
Christina Morgan is who he falls in love with.
It did say his wife's name at some point, though. Yeah, I can't remember what's up. What you find got?
I'm looking for the OJ one, but I found the Elvis one that I hadn't seen. Had you seen it?
I don't think I saw that.
It's my face on Elvis, and it says new hit song, I Got the Baby Puncher Blues.
Dude, that's pretty funny. That's an awesome photo.
That's a pretty fucking
I think, does there not need to be an Instagram with the photo with these on there?
Yeah,
like, because they get lost. One. They're in the comments. Yeah. They're in the comments. They get lost.
Tyler, before you make the Instagram, contact me because I have a strategy for you, sir.
Yeah. They're really funny.
Hit me up, but you should totally do that.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So I'm trying to find the OJ ones.
His wife, Josephine. Bang. Josephine. Got
okay.
It. Yeah.
So he gets married in 1916 and then in 1923, he falls in love with a colleague of his named Christina Morgan, and they end up doing a lot of work together, if you know what I mean, in the field. And by field, I mean the pants.
What now?
What now?
Did you see the Malcolm X one?
No.
It's the KKK new hit song. The KKK took my baby away.
Oh, I did see that one.
Oh, man, these are good.
But at this time when he meets Christina Morgan, basically introduces him to Carl Jung in Switzerland, like one of the greatest.
Is that Jung? It is Jung?
Jung.
Jung? Guess, okay.
Technically Jung. But he meets Carl Jung in Switzerland in 1925. He has a private session with Jung.
He tells him, continue to see your wife and the mistress at the same time. Yeah,
well, Jung's like that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we've seen any of these.
Brad is just browsing Facebook.
Did you fucking see these?
Yes.
The fucking OJ one?
That OJ Brent one's horrible. Well, this was the Brad one. Come on, Tyler.
They're still funny, though.
Dave only works because Dave is black.
It's just
funny.
Well,
we have the same complexion, too.
But I feel like he didn't try. You look like sloth. Why is your eye so much lower?
It's funny still. Like, does that not untrustworthy eyes, sir?
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
it is true.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. But yeah, so Jung meets with him, and I mean, Jung was he was the guy who was all about archetypes. Like you talked earlier about people who have dreams and say it's not them and they're tapping into something else. That was Jung's theory, was that there's an archetypal consciousness that you tap into and all this stuff. So he ends up studying under Jung, and he says that that reading that he did with him was so impressive that it basically shifts his career path so that he starts wanting to do psychology because he sees the impact you can have by exploring someone's brain, seeing what they're thinking, coming up with stuff. And this really sets him on a path.
Right? I want to go on like a fucking like a vision quest and do ayahuasca in the jungle, but I'm honestly scared that I'll come back and like fucking sell everything I have and just take off with a guitar in my bus. I'm really scared.
You'll have a guitar in your butt and you'll take off.
In my butt?
Yeah.
It better be a little guitar.
Well,
I don't know which. Neither end of the guitar is a good option. The machine heads would be fucking rough.
Well, I don't think the other side's working at
That's
all.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If it's a small guitar, at least it's rounded.
Mm. Just stick with a an ukulele.
Ukulele.
Yeah.
Are you still looking at those pictures?
He's just browsing Tyler Mott art.
Oh, yeah.
Are we doing an episode?
On Tyler Mott. This episode is on Tyler Mott.
I'll get back into it. Hold on.
He ends up becoming the director of Harvard Psychology.
I'll get back into it. Hold on. Yeah,
this is where
things. You got to think of other things so it lasts longer, right?
thinking about Queens, baseball.
I'm thinking about other things so this podcast lasts longer. Right. We don't have much information. This guy.
I used to think about my fat Asian dermatologist.
For
delay.
Did he make your jeans grow?
No.
Yeah.
It made it not happen.
I forgot about my jeans are growing.
Oh, just sustain.
So when he begins to work at Harvard and he takes over the psychological area, he comes up with what they call the TAT, which stands for
thematic apperception test.
Yes.
Look at that. How quickly I fucking got back into this.
That was impressive.
I'll be honest. I have notes and shit in front of me, and Brad was on Facebook a second ago. Still pulled that up.
That was very impressive. But this is the stuff that you think of.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is the stuff that, like, right now seems like really common sense. Like, if you see a shrink, they'll be like show
what
you a picture,
yeah.
And they'll show you a picture and say, "What does this picture make you think?" And he came up with this. He and his mistress, Christina Morgan, came up with this test, and he spent years poring over image after image after image to find the perfect images. And I'll post a link in the show notes because there's the
Rorschach Maple Leaf crazy thing.
No, it's actual like drawings of people.
Okay,
and they're like, they're intense situations, but vague,
right?
Like it's people, like it's very easy to look at the situations and think, wow, someone just fucking died. Or these two just got in a fight.
Like there's a surface thing, but like tense. What there's something behind it.
Yeah. They're
like,
very tense and weird.
Optimistic, pessimistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I've talked about this before, but when I took film, at BC, they had a thing like that where it was a very neutral scene and they would change just the musical score. And you were like, was it a different scene? Like, I think like someone just died.
Yeah.
Well, they might've just got married on that music.
Right, exactly.
And you're like, wow.
And it's just
weird.
A neutral face, you know?
So that makes sense how like your mindset
would color.
Oh,
they're creepy pictures.
They're creepy as fuck. And his goal was to find pictures that were provocative, but ambiguous. That was his term. And I think that's a pretty good call when you look at the pictures, because they're creepy as fuck.
Could be
and
an
they
oak
are
tree,
provocative.
It could be a veiny cock.
No, it's a couple of people and it's creepy. And
let me see, Brad.
It's like, you'll look at one.
Like,
it's like,
they're not like really
dude, that wombat
crazy,
hangs
like,
on. A wombat is
a wombat. It's on my computer. Yeah. They're it's just, like a hood ornament for my computer.
They're just intense and weird. It's like there'll be like a couple looking at each other and it's like they just got in a fight.
I wonder if
this one's creepy right here, like that one.
Yeah,
like,
what the fuck?
Do you think they commissioned artists or they found existing artwork and
he
said,
looked
this
around
would work?
From what I read, he was looking through existing artwork, trying to find the perfect batch of pictures. Right. And he went through three. I think he went through three before he settled on the final batch of pictures and all. Right. And it's still in use today. People still use these images. They still use that same thing. But then getting into the idea of the Rorschach test, getting into, you know, different stuff. Right. Like these are very common.
So what's the idea here? You look like, I know you said you look at them and you try and what are they like? They try and figure out what you
see.
Well,
you might
be
looking at it and be like, man, that bitch looks, she looks like a bitch. Or you'd be like, oh, it kind of reminds me of my younger sister when I was, you know, you're going to impose something upon this neutral picture.
And
like you're going to go dark with it or you're going to go, you know, happy with it.
Yeah. Well, his idea, and again, and it goes back to Jung, is it starts to deal with some unconscious things that might be going on in people's brains. And his idea was that if he showed you a picture, you would be able to say things about where you are mentally, letting your defenses down and not thinking about it.
You're indirectly like opening the gate to be like, you know, that person.
Yeah, that
upset.
Guy, you know, that's, the, you know, what's their relationship? Oh, that's a brother and a sister. And he's like, interesting. Why do you, you know, like,
right.
You
they're
just
like,
brought.
They're having sex.
No, exactly. But like you brought,
brother and a sister.
You brought brother and sister together. Yeah. Like that's some shit that you brought to the table. That's not in the picture inherently, you know, but some, like he would ask some of the following questions.
I want to get this done.
I know. He would ask what led up to the event that is shown.
Yeah, that's not a multiple choice. Someone's got to give this test. Yeah.
What is happening at that moment? What are the characters feeling and thinking, and what is the ultimate outcome of the story? And I'll post a link because some of the pictures are pretty fucking creepy for the final version. But this is one of the things that he came up with. And again, this is in 1935 that he came up with that test, and it was pretty impressive, and everyone started to use it all over the place. And if I remember right, it was the book that describes this. Yeah. The book on the thematic aperception test is the second bestseller that Harvard ever published. Next to the Harvard Handbook of Music.
Yeah.
So like everybody every psychologist everywhere in America was using this book, and it was a massive seller for decades and decades. It was used by students. It was used in psych classes. It was just so again, it's like how have we not heard this guy's
name? The analysis of the answers though? Like, could you put it into like a black and white yes or no like form? Formulaic way of discerning.
Well, this is what it says. So I just looked up for an online one, and you can write a story.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do it online, but it says, look at the picture. Your task is to write a complete story about the picture you see above. This should be an imaginative story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. Try to portray who the people might be, what they're feeling, thinking, and wishing. Try to tell what led to the situation depicted in the picture and how everything will turn out in the end. So by one picture,
right,
you're creating a scene basically.
Right.
I think the problem now, because we're going to be biased because we have like an analytical expectation because we know what the purpose of the test is.
I think they would tell you.
I don't think they do.
I don't think it matters because when you look at a picture, me and you are going to look at a picture and come up with completely different things.
Yeah, but you
know
what? If you have like an ulterior motive where like you want yours to come out freaky because you want to fuck dead bodies.
No, I think if you look at it subconsciously,
you're going to have that like thing.
I would do that anyway.
Weird. That's what I'm saying. But like you might.
No, I want it to turn out weird. Like I would look at this picture that's on here and I would say, oh, that's a teacher in a classroom setting.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Fuck
like
that bitch.
No, she's planning to kill her. No, I mean, there's no creepy intentions there. Like I would just create a story of the teacher student to do something in chemistry or something. And
like tainted and ungooched situation where you had not been exposed to the ulterior motive behind the test.
I think if you take
more
it,
accurate.
I mean, I it's
we
the same
know
thing
where
if you
it's
say,
ruined a little bit.
No, I don't know. I think if you say the same thing about like a, IQ test, like you're trying to be smart, like you can't trick the fucking test.
I have a problem with a lot of IQ tests. They're like, "What's the fucking capital of this place?" It's like, "Get the fuck out of here! Ask me which way those gears are going to turn."
Yeah, but you know how
doesn't have to do with their IQ. Problem solving is IQ. A lot of those tests are flawed.
Yeah, and the other thing is how many people don't know the capital of a certain place that's big.
Me, for
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
I will not go on. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Because I will look like
you
a complete
lose.
Fucking retard. I would just drool.
I didn't pay attention.
Walk off the stage.
That'd be funny.
Red and puffy.
You're their money maker.
I'm like,
you're their.
Yeah, you are.
That's their moneymaker right there. The fifth grade.
I told you I didn't want to do this.
The fifth grade teacher that goes on there and she can't answer the questions.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. My fucking daughter told me she's in sixth grade and she's like,
what'd your fucking daughter tell you, Brad?
She's doing math and she's like, she's trying to work out these problems and I'm like doing them on a calculator to check them to make sure they're right, you know, but she has to write out the problem and she's like, oh, well, they don't have to be exact. And I was like,
Common Core shit.
What do you mean they don't have to be exact? Like, there's no,
there's an answer.
Like, the answer is the answer.
Right.
Like, there's no, it doesn't need to be exact. I was like, that's some bullshit. I was like, you're going to figure out the right answer. I was like, and that's the fucking bottom line of it. Like, there's no guessing.
My daughter this week finally accepted my fucking Google it. I was like, now look, don't fucking just cheat and do all your questions on Google. But here's the deal. You're in the eighth grade. Your eighth grade's like my fucking senior year. Yeah. And my senior year is a fucking long time ago. It's 20 years ago. You'd be better off just Googling like how to do whatever the fucking integer thing you're asking.
Yeah.
Me.
And
because it's some methodology that I'm not even familiar with. I don't even know whatever principle you're talking about.
Yeah, right.
I have fucking no idea.
Right.
She's like, I can't just Google everything. That's not the answer to it. I was like, no, actually that is the answer.
Is.
If you Google
until,
it, your
until society falls, that's kind of the answer.
Section and page from that fucking publisher is going to fucking come up and the teacher's edition with the explanation and answer is right fucking there.
Right.
So try your best based off what you paid attention to in class. And if you can't fucking figure it out, you're either going to talk to the teacher before or after school, ask a friend over text right now, or you're Googling it because I don't fucking know. And last night she was like, Dad, Google has like every answer. I was welcome to two fucking years ago.
They literally have, you can put the put it in and it'll fucking write it out for you. Like it's fucking insane.
Like, but don't crutch yourself with that shit. Try as hard as you can to figure that out before you look it up. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, they'll teach you how, you know, like there's tons of stuff that'll teach
we
you.
We should
how
start
to
a segment.
It.
Guess what my fucking daughter said.
Yeah. That'd be funny. Yeah. Daughters say the darndest things. Dad, I'm bleeding down there.
Yikes.
What's happening?
That happened a while back.
So, okay. So all of this up until now is leading towards mad scientist land because in the 1940s, World War II breaks out and our good mad scientist, Henry Murray, signs up for the OSS.
Right.
And the OSS is, we should probably actually do a show on the OSS at some point because it's really fucking interesting.
We've talked about it.
We've talked about it. I mean, you bump into them. It was the precursor to the CIA. The creator was a general named William Wild Bill Donovan. And the charge of the OSS basically.
Yeah, we talked about him before, right?
Yeah, we've talked about
I'm
him.
Pretty
yeah,
sure
he's,
we've.
Yeah, he's definitely come up. But their goal was to, as World War II was getting ready to start, they had to canvass the world and see who was on whose side, basically.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And that was secret agents, James Bond guys.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they did. Like they, the OSS and the British SAS ended up profiles. So, On the SAS side, it was literally, I mean, it was Ian Fleming, who wrote the James Bond novels, was one of the main guys who was like coming up with profiles and psychological examinations of what exactly made a perfect agent as a spy. And then Henry Murray was doing the same exact thing in America for the OSS. So he was developing. Henry Murray's charge was to develop tests that once someone was identified as a spy, he would put them through a psychological battery of tests to determine whether or not they could actually cut it.
Right.
So he would try to break them.
It was a situation test.
Yeah, basically.
It said that the British version was using his test as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think from what I had seen, I think the British came up with the tests on who should become an agent. But Murray and the OSS came up with a test to confirm whether or not this actual like it, because even like when you look at James Bond, it's like he's an orphan. He was raised wealthy.
Right.
He's an alcoholic. He's a womanizer. Like these were actually the traits when they started looking at the best spies that were in British intelligence. Those were the traits of the best spies.
Yeah.
Like they were just realizing this is a pattern that the best fucking spies have. And that's what James Bond was born out of. Like it's legitimately
just drinking whiskey and slapping bitches back in the day.
Yeah.
No hashtag me too on Sean Connery yet.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No.
It's not happening.
So
shouldn't have even spoke it. I might have. Yeah. Now it's going to happen.
Yeah. What is?
Sean Connery's hashtag me too.
No.
You not know what that is?
No.
Dang, Dave really doesn't leave the fuck. He's in a Canadian cabin reading books somewhere. The time has stopped.
I just know about that because it's Pound Me Too, and that shouldn't be a thing.
Really? That's pretty appropriate. Yeah. Has anyone said that? Is that your thing?
I don't know.
Yeah, all the women.
Awful.
Yeah, Pound Me Too.
Everybody's pounding Me Too. Pound Me Too. Pound Me Too. I'm like, you fucking retards.
I hope you made that up. I mean, I know it's hashtag. No one calls hashtag pound anymore.
But it is.
Yeah, I say pound.
Yeah.
So he ends up in charge of doing this stuff with secret agents, working with the Brits, et cetera. And this is, again, where mad scientist land takes over because while he's there, he does start to experiment with giving the soldiers LSD and different psychotropics. And this is like the first time this stuff is ever done. Exactly. So the whole idea of people we've talked to before about LSD, about, you know, mind alteration, et cetera, Henry Murray was at the forefront of this stuff for the U.S. government, working for the precursor of the CIA. And it goes to the fact that they actually suspect. A lot of people think that because we talk about MK Ultra, the whole idea of the CIA funding different, you know, universities like doing different mind control experiments that people
Harvard
doing the experiments didn't necessarily know. So
they
the
think
doctor,
he worked hand in hand with Timothy Leary during the whole
But they think that he wasn't an unwitting accomplice of MK Ultra, that he was intentionally doing things for the CIA, for MK Ultra. And when MK Ultra was getting Harvard to do experiments for the people who didn't know they were being part of MK Ultra, they think Murray was the one funneling those experiments to the people under him. So that
makes sense.
Could, it does.
I mean,
make
if,
sense.
He, if he's trying to find the perfect spies, you know what I mean? Like why wouldn't you be able to do MK Ultra techniques and know about it? You know,
you probably detach from the guilt, to be honest. You probably disassociate with any wrongdoing, I would think. I mean, mm-hmm. in your deep, in your soul, you know you're fucking some people up probably because they just like degrade them. Fucking
yeah, but you gotta put it into perspective too. They're doing it in the for the benefit of national security.
Just doing my job.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. So like that's how everything is done now.
I'm smarter than everyone. I am in this position of power for a reason. Mm-hmm. These are the things for the betterment of the nation.
It's just like, you know, we talked about Yosef, what's his name? The twin lover.
Yeah, I know. I can't.
Yosef.
Mengele?
Mengele. Yeah, him. Like, it seems like he would be this nasty, like, just abomination of a person. This is like, oh, I'm going to cut these babies open because mm-hmm. they're twins and see what the other one feels. But in his mind, it was for science. That was something that had never been done before.
Right.
And he was just able to do it because nobody gave a shit. You know what I mean? So if you look at it from that side, from the actual science side or the doctor side and the psychology of it, there's a lot of doctors who would do the same thing.
Sure.
That probably work on you every day when you go to the doctor's office. You know what I mean? Like they would literally cut you open because doctors are different than normal people.
At Thanksgiving, he's a totally normal guy. He's like, pass the gravy.
Yeah.
Are you going to eat the neck?
Yeah.
Right.
And like the neck away. But that's the part he liked. He went for it. And the giblets.
I'm just saying.
Wherever the giblets are located,
they're, the psychology of a surgeon's mind is different.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Than a normal person.
Dude,
so.
My wife watches this fucking vet show now. Have you guys seen any of that? They fucking go like the middle of Mexico and like 1,000 fucking people show up on like Nacho Libre bikes and shit. And bring their dogs that just have like fucking tumors on their head that look like cauliflower, like bloody cauliflower on the fucking golden retriever's head. And they cut that shit out. It is insane. I cannot watch that shit.
Yeah, I'll pass.
It's the same connection of the gory movie thing I found. Yeah. It's just the gore. It's not the scary.
My old neighbor, he was a surgeon, like a technician guy, you know, that worked, like he did back surgeries and stuff, you know, like he would be in the room doing all the stuff with the doctors, you know, and his wife loves like horror movies and stuff, you know, and he's like, he's like, it's not that I don't want to watch them. He's like, I do that shit every day. Like I see people cut open on a table.
Right.
Like I'm just not into it. You know, like that's what I do for a living.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Like
one of the vet techs on there starts seeing spots. He's like, is it really hot in here? I'm seeing spots. Is that normal? They're like, go sit down. Someone else glove up. Like
blood.
You're not allowed to do this anymore.
Yeah. Man. Fuck that.
I mean, it's just like dad's going in, you know, having babies, you know, like going.
I got lightheaded, dude.
Passing. I did too.
With Maddox, I got fucking weird.
Yeah. It gets weird. The smell, you know what I mean? Everything all just wrapped into one thing, you know?
Soon as you see a turd hit the wall, it's over. Like, whoa, you poop? All these years, I kept that a secret. I didn't want to know about that.
So speaking of turds hitting the wall.
There you go.
One of the things that he was tasked to do when he was in the OSS was actually write, to do a psychological profile, one of the first psychological profiles ever done of Adolf Hitler. And he does his profile of Adolf Hitler and he like, and
said he's a homosexual.
It did say he was a homosexual and it goes into all sorts of reasons. It talks about his speech patterns, his mannerisms, a nickname.
Booby?
He calls Albert Forster Booby, which was a common nickname.
Is it Bubby or Booby?
It's B-U-B-I.
Booby. It's probably Booby.
It's probably Booby. Yeah.
But apparently that was a common nickname. Partners.
But I mean, the thing was apparently eerily accurate, even to the point that they said if he's cornered in Berlin, he's going to try to kill himself.
That's a strange characteristic. You have to admit that he's like, I kill them, fucking screaming on crank at the fucking podium.
Yeah, but then he's like, Booby, suck me your schnitzel.
It's a very like endearing, like affectionate terminology for another man. Like,
and apparently. It got published.
It says it's a, did you say it was a common nickname employed by homosexuals addressing their partners? Like that's that right there is a giveaway. You know what I mean? Like you're not going to call, you know, I'm not calling Dave honey.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, or sweetie, you know,
I wish
I know, but I'm not, what I'm saying.
So, but I want to read it. Actually, the whole profile has been published and you can read the whole thing that he said about what he thought about Hitler. But supposedly it was really accurate.
He showed a lot of feminine characteristics. I mean, I don't know what he means other than the booby thing.
Well, the way he walked, the way he talked, like everything
He's like Richard Simmons with a funny mustache.
Basically.
And a uniform.
Yeah.
Richard Simmons is supposed to play him, actually. Is he still alive?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he could totally play him. He could do it. If they gave him a haircut and a mustache, done.
And there were a ton of homosexuals in the party and still are, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. Weird, but true. It's the world we live in.
So as he's probably working for the CIA, like helping to usher in MK Ultra,
which kind of makes sense that he really didn't get, like, we talked about MK Ultra,
right?
And we talked about Timothy Leary, but we didn't see anything on him.
No.
So you have to really like search up just him.
It's kind of a trip.
So it's kind of, he's been wiped away.
Absolutely. It's so kind of a fucking trip.
It kind of makes sense that, because we're actually just saying like, he probably worked for the CIA,
right?
Or he probably did some stuff for the CIA, but there is no
evidence,
evidence or anything.
I mean, he did work for the OSS.
Like even earlier this week when I was trying to look for that, I could, that documentary, A Day in September, I could not get it.
Yeah,
the sound had been removed. It was pulled from fucking everything.
Really,
and that's happened a few times for things we're looking for.
But no, we like, we've looked up the whole LSD thing, Timothy Leary, like the stuff that I was reading said that Murray was one of the main people who introduced Leary to LSD. Like,
not mentioned. Leary doesn't mention his name.
Yeah, exactly.
Leary's not like, oh, yeah, yeah. Fucking, well, to be like, fair, Murray showed me my buddy.
He called him Booby.
My buddy Booby.
But when you look
Booby,
into
Booby Murray,
MK Ultra, it talks about the fact that, you know, major universities did it in psych programs. And that
Harvard
was a big proponent, et cetera. Like, he
doesn't
not,
say Murray, the like director not, of Harvard psychology.
Yeah, it's a fucking trip. So, but the thing that he is the most famous for was an experiment that he ran for 3 years from late 1959 to early 1962. And they simply call it the Harvard Human Experiments. It's a little bit hard to Google it because you Google Harvard experiments and you get fucking 8 million
Timothy
Harvard
McVeigh.
Experiments on all kinds of shit.
Yeah. It's just Unabomber stuff comes up when you look for that.
And that's weird too, because we did Ted Kaczynski.
Right.
And he doesn't fucking, Murray came up until you look up this fucking guy.
It's a fucking trip.
Yeah.
But so the, what he did in Harvard was,
oh, it says right here, Timothy Leary started research in psychedelic drugs at Harvard, which Murray is said to have supervised.
Right.
Yeah.
So
exactly. Yeah. But
fucking crazy.
So he does this experiment where he gets undergraduate students who are attending Harvard, and he gets them to fill out a personal diary.
Yeah, I don't know what they thought, because it's basically they're unwitting participants. But I don't know what they thought going into the experiment that was going to happen. I don't think they were going to be abused. And
yeah,
raided.
I don't think they fully knew. That's because everybody says it was a completely unethical experiment because they weren't. It wasn't revealed to them at the beginning.
Right.
I think that's a real experiment.
But I suppose.
I mean, yeah,
the idea is they write that they keep a diary of like super, super intimate thoughts, all kinds of stuff. Then they show up with the diary and someone takes the diary from them, makes them sit in a room, like a straight up like interrogation room. They read through the diary, like the people on the other side of the fucking glass window, they read the diary and then they come back in with a camera running. They put an EKG on the people and they start asking them the most embarrassing, horrible questions that they can think of based on what was written in the diary.
It's like, did you really jerk off with margarine?
Right, exactly. Like all like just
me?
Like all this super embarrassing and like they word it in a way that's insulting.
Yeah.
Like they're not like there's no kid gloves. They're just like, fucking being horrible.
No one else does that. You are weird.
What
You're
the fuck
freak.
Is wrong with you? Yeah, exactly. Like just berating them, asking
and
them hard questions.
Film them while they do it. It's like the most humiliating thing they could possibly do.
Sexual fantasies, like their goals, their fears, like you fucking name it. They dig in deep. And the point was they wanted to measure the individual responses to extreme stress. And it was what Murray called, quote, vehement, sweeping, and personally abusive attacks.
It turns out people didn't like it.
No, it turns out they didn't.
It's really
so
uncomfortable.
They film it, but then that's not all, right? Because it's a 3-year experiment. That took a month.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is they were on task to keep coming back. So then they kept coming back. And I don't know why they fucking kept coming back, but these students kept coming back and they would, once they went through that horrible thing, they would come back and Murray would play films. He would force them to watch films.
Probably
convince
them they have a problem.
It was their reactions.
Well, and then he would start busting their balls about
what they
said in the film and why did you react this way? And then sometimes he would film them watch a film and then show that to them later and bust their balls about that. Like it was just this layers and layers of ball busting. And it said that people were psychologically scarred for life. Like people like reported later that they were like, when they think back to their time at Harvard, it was full of like dread and fear and like a desire to get vengeance.
He built
and all
the model on knowing
shit.
That a specific event in your life can cause this fucking personality disorder.
Yeah.
And then he went ahead and imposed it upon people.
Right. Exactly.
He knew
right.
that this can happen, you know?
Now, so that's where he gets blamed for creating Ted Kaczynski.
Basically, right. because
he was
all
17
of them,
years old and participated yes, in the experiment.
He was 16 when he, when so, actually, no, he was 16 when he started Harvard, and he was 17 when he started the experiment. And so, he was a mathematical genius. He was there studying math. He signed up for the psych experiment, and they all had nicknames based on what they found in the diary so that none of the research assistants or anything knew walking around campus who this person was. And his nickname, ironically, was Lawful.
Because he was so straight edge, right. like, yeah, they thought no way is this yeah. guy breaking rules.
So he was super straight edge, et cetera. But Murray apparently started to detect a disconnect between him and society and a distaste for like the man and for industrialization and all this stuff
technology.
And started to fucking like pry a wedge in it and fuck with them and poke holes in it and make them worse and worse. And every single psych profile of Kaczynski says that this time frame when he was in Harvard, whatever happened at Harvard was what turned him yeah. into the Unabomber.
Well, yeah.
And it just so happens that this is what happened when he was in Harvard.
And he's a 17-year-old mathematical prodigy attending right. Harvard. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like he's like, it's like real genius status. Like he's not emotionally stable at this point. He's 17
right,
and he's around
right.
people that are like 25.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's super competitive. There's a high expectations. How the fuck did he land in that program? Like how do they, what was the selection process?
They're well,
like,
they hey, probably had a paper.
We'll give it 10 bucks a week.
Had a no, paper pretty, on the wall.
Yeah. No, like it, yeah, it probably was like volunteer for this much money and right. join this experiment.
Harvard Human Experiment.
Years.
It's exactly. a yeah. math club tryout.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's some schools when you
free drugs,
like yeah. when you enroll, like in certain like
they
level
require
one
you.
Schools, like you, when you sign, when you pay your tuition and you sign up for classes, you sign a thing that says you are now a willing participant in psych experiments.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. They could just be happening and
that
you
was
don't
a thing
even know.
Then or that's a thing now?
Both.
What do you mean? No, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
At like all colleges.
At like tier one psych colleges because they need to be able to
Harvard, gather the
Yale.
Data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not like they're going to do this shit.
Ivy
It'll just be like,
probably.
They'll like, they need to like, you'll be in a classroom and you show up in that classroom and there's just a glass wall and
right.
who fucking knows the
right.
girl that you think is really attractive might be sitting there on purpose looking attractive. And there's someone on the other side of the window watching whether or not you can concentrate or
so
whatever.
If you groan and say mustard and biscuits, they fucking know and they're recording it. That's what I do. I say pretty
so cool. The uptake is groan and say mustard and biscuits if you're at a level one
yeah,
research institution.
Biscuits,
just say it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sit in class saying mustard and biscuits.
We should go. Can we do a social experiment in one of your classes, Dave?
Sure.
Me and Brent go in there and sitting there.
Sure.
And you're talking, we're like, mustard. Brent biscuits. And then see how your students react and you just don't even
and
acknowledge
I just don't
us.
Acknowledge
yeah,
it,
like
yeah.
we're not even there.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
We have to show up day one so it's just like we're there. We have to go a couple times and act like we're
yeah.
participating.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Hmm.
That'd be so funny.
We might be on
something. Yeah, that does sound good. Are you getting in trouble if we do this?
Nah,
no.
Nah, I'm tenured.
I'm tenured.
Nobody's
and
gonna
I'm
know.
The department chair.
What are they gonna do?
Yeah.
What are they gonna do? What are they gonna do? Get an F because
right,
they tell
exactly.
on him?
Exactly. Yeah.
It turns
Jesus
out we get
Christ.
Really into it and we're pissed because Dave gives us a bad grade. I'm like, I tried really fucking hard on that paper, dude. I took notes every day.
All you wrote in the there. Feedback was mustard and biscuits.
Yeah. In red.
Go in there. Active shooter drill. Pull out guns. Fucking see what happens.
Oh. Oh, now this is public. There was foreknowledge.
Mustard and biscuits.
Yeah.
Nobody's listening to this.
That's true.
They won't know.
So he ends up getting fucking degraded, broken down, et cetera. And everybody basically says that Ted Kaczynski became the Unabomber because of this experiment at Harvard, et cetera.
Well, it's why he targets academics and technicians
right.
as far as
right.
his targeting.
Yeah,
he did,
exactly.
So.
Exactly.
I mean, he was kind of pissed because they fucked his brain up a little bit.
Right.
Or he thinks they did. Maybe he was just going to be that way. I mean, who fucking knows?
And they said one of the people who studied Kaczynski, a guy named Alston Chase, and he wrote a book called Harvard and the Unabomber. And Chase basically says that Kaczynski was already mentally unstable before he even entered this program.
Right.
Yeah.
And that that he lived fairly isolated. He lived like farther away from campus. He didn't talk to people, and that all the stuff that Murray was doing to pick at him made him more isolated.
So
made
he
him,
probably lived with his parents. He's 17. Who knows? I don't know the story.
Right, behind I don't either.
It's
don't
not
either.
Like we did an episode. No, did we do an episode? Knows?
Yes, we did.
Did.
We
yeah.
Yeah. I don't
Ted
remember.
Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah, I know called. The name.
And apparently
episode
there's still
number,
like
whatever.
All the records are still there of everything. From what happened at what is basically called the Murray Center, I believe is what it's called. So all the records of what happened to Kaczynski are in there.
Right.
And however, the current director of the Murray Center said, quote, "We have a very strong policy of maintaining the confidentiality of people who participate in the studies achieved here. This particular file has been permanently removed, with the reason being that we cannot protect its confidentiality anymore." So they flat out got rid of the files. And I can't, I mean,
yeah,
that's to me, that's legit. Like otherwise you compromise the integrity of your entire institution.
Right.
You need to know that these files are protected. You're safe if you know, engage in a Harvard
they actually
study,
got destroyed.
Et cetera.
They're in the president's book.
No, they probably
book of secrets.
True. Yeah, they're in the book of secrets. But yeah, so all of this is supposedly there, and this is allegedly what led to him doing it. So
there's a gray alien that just gets to read all that shit. He drinks whiskey and smokes a cigar and shit. Is. He's in a special room in the White House.
Yeah. I just can't. I can only picture Roger from Family Guy.
Family Guy.
American.
Yeah, I was thinking of that guy.
Futurama.
Futurama. No, it's Futurama. The gray alien guy? The gay
Roger.
One?
Yeah,
the
that's not Futurama.
What is it?
It's American Dad.
Is it American Dad?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Nope. I don't watch that show.
Only the president is he's like, Donald. Oh, never
he's
mind.
Not a gray alien. He's a gay alien.
He's Roger's like, awesome. Check this out. You read the Kaczynski file?
So, yeah. So at the end of the day, I think Murray was probably in MK Ultra. Like yeah. I don't know.
He was heading it up.
It's pure speculation, but
he was heading it up at Harvard.
He was like everything MK Ultra was doing. He was doing in the 40s for the OSS, which was pre-CIA. Like to me, I don't know. And again, the creepiness of how difficult it is to find a lot of stuff about Murray makes me wonder if he's just kind of permanently been redacted from the.
You think there's
the,
like well, 10 dudes at stations just sitting around with like a hot list of words where they're like, Google. Every day they just Google their hot list and they go,
well, you have a computer.
Take that shit out. That's what I'm saying. Like, dudes are just sitting there looking for shit and like, this motherfucker's got some shit. How did he get this? Fucking boom, done.
Delete
all day. That's all they do is redact the internet.
Right. I don't see why.
Things are redacted all the time. I mean, history is redacted and changed and rewritten.
It would not be hard to fucking hack that server.
I mean, if you look at the
file
his,
not be found. You
his
know.
His memory is, the memory of Murray is very tame as far as what he did. You know, so with the information we found on him, it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, he was this professor who kind of did these things. You know, he did some experiments and made some groundbreaking work, and he got some awards for it. And that's kind of it. You know?
Right.
And he died.
And he made the Unabomber and broke spies.
I mean, but who's to say he made? Yeah, but who's to say he did? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it could have been a coincidence. That, you know, like how many people did he do that guy just turned into?
Yeah. Oh no, yeah. I don't think he intentionally set out.
It's not a Manchurian candidate or anything.
No.
It's like he didn't.
Yeah, it was just happenstance that fucking Ted Kaczynski was in the program.
Right. It just so happens that when you take mentally unstable people and have a program designed to make them mentally unstable, they become more mentally unstable.
And I don't think you're raising your hand to be like, I created the Unabomber.
Right.
That was me.
Right.
Thank me.
Well, he died in, he was 95. So he died in 88. So he would have died before. I mean, the Unabomber was already active, but it wasn't like a big. Like we're finding like the Unabomber wasn't
there wasn't
Unabomber
no connection
famous
yeah,
yet
yeah.
by 1988.
That shit went on for 18 years.
Yeah, it went on for quite a while.
Episode 157.
Okay.
Yeah.
Long time ago. I don't remember that.
I remember the episode. It was a good episode.
100 episodes ago.
Yeah.
Over.
Wow. So that's Murray and that's the Harvard experiments. And
so he became the emeritus professor. He earned a Distinguished Scientific Contribution Award from the American Psychological Association and a Gold Medal Award for Lifetime Achievement from the American Psychological Foundation. So he did, like, that's probably a pretty high.
Oh, yeah.
you know,
you got the you did some fucked up shit award too.
Yeah, he did. The CIA gave the
fucked up shit award. We love you. Yeah. He got it on a little marble plaque.
Yeah,
the fucked up shit award.
And he died at 95 of pneumonia. Or did he?
Yeah, that motherfucker had some secret tech. How did he live to 95? Some genes.
You did it.
Yeah. Parents lived that long. Yeah, that's gnarly.
Yeah, but he was born rich. So what are you gonna do?
He took pills
and the blue
Magic
blood.
Johnson.
And I was like, I just kept waiting to run into
that should be a dick pill at the liquor store. What? Next to the fucking electric fucking seal one you had. What was it? What were those dick pills that had the seal?
Dick, yeah, the electric seal. I can't remember.
What's it called?
Yeah.
They should make one called Magic Johnson for sure.
Oh, they totally should.
I don't know. What's the picture that goes on that package, though?
Just Magic Johnson.
It's just him.
Like with a big afro back in the day, Duncan. So
AIDS can't even knock this dick down.
Oh, man. So, but
AIDS and erection, it says. Magic Johnson aids in erection.
So it says his legacy is the exploration of personality and is describing in personality in terms of needs.
Yeah.
So it's like the Murray's system of needs. Like that's what he left.
That's
behind.
Like his big thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Like
Maslow was like, I'll take that. I didn't give anyone LSD. I'm still on the internet. Yeah, who's going to prove me wrong? It already starts with an M.
I was not a spy breaker, so I'm good. I kept waiting as I was researching it. I was, because I figured based on all the stuff we've researched in the past that I would run into a limited amount of information on the experiments that was written down and that I would turn to documentaries and YouTube to really kind of be like, oh, here's eyewitness accounts. Here's a guy who survived I was waiting for documentaries to fill in the gaps of exactly what happened in those experiments. Yeah. And it just isn't there. Like the information just isn't out there. I mean, even with the Kaczynski tie, that seems to be a connection that wasn't made when Kaczynski was first arrested. No. It seems like that connection is much more recent.
And it's kind of like whatever too. Like nobody really knows about it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So
I think like I really didn't start seeing articles that were talking about the connection until 2012 was about when I started to see like the articles coming out saying that this had something to do with creating the Unabomber. And I don't know if I said this on the Unabomber episode, but I will always be disappointed that the Unabomber did not involve a unicycle.
He rode a unicycle.
Like that's, I mean,
so every job you take where you have to take a personality test, it's this guy's fault.
Yes.
You know? Yep. So it's like, would you rob your coworker or beat them? And you're like, these are both bad.
Yeah.
Like, right. I guess I'm going to rob him because I'm not physically harming him, but now I'm a thief. Right. Like
Best Buy gives you that test. Mm-hmm. It was fucking crazy.
AT&T does. It says AT&T right here.
Oh, really?
So, AT&T was the first one.
It's
to
like, if you caught
it.
Your dad stealing Chevron. Candy bar, would you tell on him? And you're like, fuck no, I'm not telling on my dad. What the fuck?
Right.
But and then you're like fired. Absolutely. Yeah, you're like, yes, we're telling your dad.
Yeah. So do you consider yourself an adventurous person? And 27 questions later, would you ever skydive? Like, bitch, maybe I would skydive, but I don't want to go climbing mountains and shit. Like, screw you for judging me. You're confusing me right now. This sucks. All right, is it sponsor time?
It is.
All right, I'm going to sneak in a couple other podcast shout outs that are from with our listenership. Joel, I think it's Joel Attenborough, has My Age Podcast. I believe I might fuck this totally up, but that's the one where he has you pick three songs and then like describe them in relation to your life. Like what did you do in high school? What were you listening to? You know, what did you listen to? What do you listen to now?
So he's podcasting me.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think you and Dave would be good on that. Even though I play music, I don't think I would do good on that podcast. I think I would suck. But if you're into music, apparently.
I'm not into it. I just listen to it. Yeah. I don't even hear words.
Hit me up. I'd be down to do it.
So there you go. Joel, hook that up. My Age Podcast. Also check out Just the Worst Podcast.
So wait, he does. So you...
You pick three songs from your life, mm-hmm. and then you work them into like how that affected you, what was going on in your life at that time.
Yeah,
I think
that'd be dope.
I would suck at that though. I would have to really think about that in advance.
You'd probably
on the spot. I could not pull that off. Yeah, but Just the Worst Podcast. That's Patty Larson, and I can't think of her counterpart's name.
You never can.
Yeah, the wino chick. She'll love that. Yeah. The girl that's always drunk.
She doesn't listen to our show.
Talking
anyway.
About horse dicks. I don't think she does. Also, we're not quite sure yet. That is a conspiracy podcast. Life Bites. That's our friend Brian Ross. Mixed Feelings. Cassie and Mandy. Some foul mouth stoner chicks. But it's pretty entertaining. And then Breakers Podcast, which is a serial style podcast, which I'm almost fucking done and caught up with.
Serial style podcast.
Yeah, it's like a storytelling podcast.
That's not what Serial is. Serial is like a fucking... Serial is like a lady talking about a court case.
No, that's just... You're talking about the Serial podcast. I'm talking about the genre of Serial podcast, meaning it's a series, like storytelling.
That's Serial?
Serial is the name of a podcast that you're talking about a court case. Yeah. I'm saying the genre versus you're saying...
It'd be a storytelling genre.
I like savory breakfast. I don't like cereal.
Me too. Yeah. I'm more of an omelet guy, really, if we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty.
I've been into Golden Grahams.
Really?
Yeah, it tastes like...
Those are good. It reminds me of being little.
It tastes like marshmallow on graham crackers.
You know what sucks?
Marshmallow.
Honey what? Smacks. Fucking frog cereal.
Now, that used to be good back in the day.
I love Honey Smacks.
That shit tastes like styrofoam peanuts. You could pack boxes of that shit.
Honeycombs used to be good, too. Honeycombs?
Yeah, I remember those.
I used to hate Captain Crunch, and now I like Captain Crunch.
Remember Kix?
Kix is horrible.
I do remember Kix.
I still like Kix. My son got Kix the other day.
Horrible.
I don't understand. Like every cereal you've just mentioned, I think fondly of and think, oh, that was fucking delicious. But I don't like cereal.
Yeah.
Like I don't eat cereal. I don't like it.
I quit. Yeah. Cause I quit milk really. You know what I mean? I just don't do milk anymore.
I don't know. There's times like if I just like a bowl of cereal, like after training, like you go to jujitsu or judo or whatever you're doing, you go to kickboxing and cereal.
That sounds horrible.
No, that's the best, dude.
Milk does
I take that. I think the only times I ever really want cereal is a Bakersfield phenomenon because last summer when it was like fucking 115
you want milk, you want
for
cereal.
A week,
yeah.
I was like, I would wake up in the morning, I just have no appetite because it's so fucking hot. And I was like, the only thing I could even conceive of eating
cereal.
Was cereal.
That's the opposite of what I would want if it's hot. If it's hot, I want nothing to do with milk.
Dude, because I don't want anything heavy. So like if I work like a motherfucker during the day and it's hot as fuck and you come home, like the only thing you want is a cold ass bowl of cereal, some cold ass milk.
See, that seems heavy to me. Dairy seems like no.
Well, dairy's I don't do dairy heavy. Though. I mean, obviously, I get alternate milks, but it's very
cold milk.
Yeah, it's
with cereal.
Just,
yeah.
It doesn't heat the kitchen up. I'm not cooking shit. Mm-hmm. Like, just.
You do soy or almond, or what do you do?
I usually do almond milk. Yeah. I try to do cashew milk when possible because it's the most natural.
More expensive, though, huh?
No, it's about the same as everything else. Now it is. Now you can get it for. Because cashew milk at the heart of it is. Literally, you take cashews that are raw, you soak them in water, you run them through a blender, you have cashew milk.
That's how that happens?
That's it. That's not the case with soy milk. That's not the case with almond milk. They like pulp
almond
it and
milk.
Extract liquid, et cetera. But cashew milk, even when you buy like the Silk brand or the, you know, you can make your own if you want to. It's the same fucking process. But even when you look at the Silk brand, like the amount of ingredients is cut in about a fifth of what the other ones are. Yeah. And it's primarily just cashews that are blended up. And
have you had Jarrell milk? That's where he just soaks his fingers in water for hours.
That's banana flavored milk.
Yeah. You blend that water later. Thank you, El Yucateco hot sauce. After the Jared's milky fingers.
Jared,
I said. That's Jared?
Jarrell.
I get him confused with that Subway child molester guy. All the time.
Oh, wow.
Constantly.
The white, fat, skinny child molester.
As soon as you get into banana fingers.
The crossover is there's kids involved.
He's slippery slope. Yeah, because he's like, Jared's always like, hey, boy, you want to come see my banana fingers? Yeah. That's exactly what he was known for.
That's what he used to do. Yep. Yeah, that's where the confusion happens. Yeah,
I understand now.
I'm sorry, Jarrell. You see where it happened, though. there's your shout out. God. They're so mean. It's going to come full circle. Thanks, El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can buy them at most major grocery stores. You can also buy them on their website. They sell gear. If you're such a hot sauce fan that you want to wear a t-shirt or, you know, have a beach towel. I don't know. They have all kinds of shit on there. But you can save some money getting it if you use code SOFAKING. Thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. You can log on to printdirtcheap.com for printed goods and also use our code SOFAKING to save some money getting stuff like stickers, banners, things such as that. Thank you to DeLeon Graphics. They do all of our screen printing, and you can buy that stuff like t-shirts on our website at sofakingpodcast.com/shop. Thank you to Digital Creations. They have a website now at mydigitalcreations.com, and it has a Facebook store where you can buy single singles of items. I can't talk right now, but they have heat press goods, so they can do one off. So you don't have to buy multiples. You're
putting me to sleep.
Thank you. Also, thank you to Dan Camrio Jiu Jitsu at Camrio Jiu Jitsu. His website is armhunter.com. You can log on for instructional videos and apparel. I might fall asleep myself with that. That's like an audio cassette tape or something. I don't know. I like it. If you like us, if we made you laugh, I'm going to use Brad's thing here still from, if we made you laugh during this episode at any time, log on to patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast. I can't talk. I can't do it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Slofa King.
Yeah.
That's a different one. That's an Eastern European version of us.
We are Slofa King.
Thank you for coming to SlofaKing.com. This is Patreon.
Yeah. Slofa Pirate.
For just one rubles a week, you can get early episodes and also Michael Jackson poster. And the Coca-Cola I hear is really cool. You know, all of the coolest things, you know, the music and stuff.
That's okay, Joe, Slofa King.
Slofa King.
Check us out on Instagram at Slofa King Podcast and individually at Slofa King Brad, at Slofa King Brent, and at Slofa King Dave. And check out our quote at the Captainess _SK quotes. You can see there, and we're giving away a mug this week to somebody. I forgot their name already. They're a nobody already.
That was Sarah Rickard.
Sarah Rickard. Met her in Chicago.
we didn't, though.
Check us out on Facebook.
That was John Luke Picard with big ass titties.
That's right. There are four lights.
Yeah. We had another one.
Captain's
actually,
log.
And also Catfish Sass on Twitter.
Yeah.
Got a sticker pack this week.
Sticker pack from Printer Cheap.
Yep.
Thank you. Check out the fan group on Facebook. Search the unofficial SK Ultra and it'll come up. Brent said Patreon. Cool. Check us out there. Yeah. That's all I got. So the ending song is Ultrasound by Joyner Lucas. Don't be a retard.
Yo, what's up? This is Joyner. I'm unable to take your call right now. Leave me a brief message and I'll get back to you. Peace.
You know, you really piss me off sometimes. I've spent all night waiting for you to come home, and I've woken up without you. I don't know where you are, why you're not answering your phone, but I'm starting to get worried. I really hope you're not pissing away the last of our money at the stupid casino again. Because you know my next check won't be here till the 3rd, and we literally have nothing right now. If you did go to the casino and you have won money, then I guess...
Get the fuck off of my dick, ho! Fuck you, man. I don't think you noticed what you've done to me. Yeah, I think you should know that you were under me. If anybody got a problem, tell them they can come to me. What the fuck you mean? This is not allowed. Better calm it down. Cause all you new niggas just watered down. I can see through you like a motherfucker. Ultrasound, ooh. Okay, be ready to hold up then. I'm ready to roll up on that minute of motor. Make your motor spin. I blow the boat up, they be gone. I'm ready to what you noticing. A couple of hoes that I've been boning since. The nigga was only 10. I'm ready to guard up in that pussy harder than my youngin'. You fallin' and you love it. Can't stand the heat, but you all up in the oven. I remember when I used to ball on a budget.
Hold on.
Now wait a minute. You finally got some paper, can't wait to get it. And it don't really matter cause you still lame. No matter how much cake you got, it wouldn't make a difference.
Don't matter.
I'm tired of all you rappers want free verses. But fuck about it, here, that's how I make a living. And dive up in the pussy like Jamaica niggas. I spend all of my dollars on some Laker tickets. I think if I die young, they gon' miss me too. I think I'ma buy guns, maybe empty too. I think I'ma sell drugs to the kids in school. I think I'ma get buzzed if it gets me through. I think I'ma need a hide if they know where I live. I think I'ma drink a drive till I told her to whip. I think I'ma get high, give her all of the dick. Even if she ain't mine, she know what it is. Wait.
She know what it is.
Hold up though, I'm ready to roll up on that. I'm ready to motor, make your motor blow. To blow the boat up and be gone. I'm ready to what you notice though. A couple of hoes that I've been boning since the nigga was on it though. My nigga, what's your worst fear? I've been running from the start. Scared to be a man, trying to hustle in the dark. Running down the stairs, gotta hustle every march. Eating supper, getting filled, watch you rumble in the Bronx. I step aside to the puddle in your heart. Nigga, I don't trust you, plus you never played a part. I've been living in the ghetto where the devils pray to God. Never, I said. I've been living in the ghetto where the devils pray to God. Hold up. I've been living in the
ghetto. Wait.
Yeah. Look. Get the fuck off of my dick.
Wait a minute.
I'ma fuck your bitch to let my neighbor hit it. She told me maybe we could go on a date. I told her no way, but we could say we did it. I'm such a lost soul, even my mom knows. That's why she hate a nigga.
Yeah.
I'm such an asshole, even Superman could save a nigga.
Joiner.
Get the fuck off
of my cock.
Yo, what's up? This is Joyner. I'm unable to take your call right now. Leave me a brief message and I'll get back to you.